bit about how we can sit like this and show nutsack.
It's all about the short. All is about the short shorts.
I'm telling you, I got to get silkies made for bare bones.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. They're shorts. They're underwear.
Don't need anything else. All right. So, EJ and I just finished up a training session, which was the first of, you know, kind of laying the groundwork of tactical strength conditioning. And I asked him to come in today because I know that he pretty much personifies the type of people that have a job that is very need-driven as far as their physicality and your mentality. And I wanted to have him come in to kind of like test the waters of some of these things that I'm putting together for tactical strength conditioning because I know that he understands the rigors of that job. So I asked him to come in today so we could chat a little bit about that at a surface level, but also kind of get deep into how that relates to how everyone, whether you're in law enforcement, first responder, military, whatever, or just a civilian, has to really look at what they do in the gym and make sure that it's serving their life. And this is a message that I've had out there all the time, and I think that you definitely personify that. So I'm going to introduce EJ. And EJ, why don't you tell us what you do and rigors of the job, a little bit about yourself.
Now, first off, I appreciate being here and the kind words. My name's EJ Weeks. I work for the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services for the state. I'm a senior training technician for police. So my primary job is a tactics instructor, CQB, different medical stuff, penetrating wounds, woodland tactics, basically critical or high-risk incidents. I teach and help out at the SWAT school. And do that as well. I'm a defensive tactics instructor. So I've seen over the course of about 6 years being there, tens of thousands of law enforcement officers, anywhere from 50 to probably 75,000 law enforcement officers come through there, teach them some tactics, get them into reality-based training, try to induce some kind of stress response, and see how they handle the tactics, handle that critical incident situation under some kind of duress or stress response.
I feel like that's the really important factor right there. It's like everything can, so I went through a CrossFit football thing, and from a sports-specific application standpoint, they talk about open loop versus closed loop, and closed loop being you're going to do X, Y, and Z, you know what you're going to do, you know those moves, go ahead and make it happen, versus open loop is, for a football player, I'm on the field. I understand the patterns, but I don't know when I'm going to have to enact any of them under that situation.
Yeah, and really, if we delve into that a little bit deeper, the key to that is... I call it the X's and O's versus the concepts. So you think of football, right?
Yeah.
Everyone who hasn't played Madden growing up,
yep.
You know, you pick a play and what do you see? X's and O's, and you see the routes and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, you get into a critical incident, it's easy to say, it's easy to understand or learn through repetition. You go left, you go right. Here's where you stand in this building. Here's how you want to be positioned, you know, outside someone's reactionary gap or whatnot. But now when we talk about concepts, you know, angle, distance, time, and speed, and being able to think through critical incidents and have those X's and O's be at an unconscious, competent level, so my conscious brain's thinking through the problems.
Yep.
That's kind of where, through that stress-induced action is what we're trying to do as well.
Unconscious competence. That's a great word. They actually use that too.
Yep.
And anybody who's, I got a lot of friends out here who have gone through power athlete stuff, and that's actually, they talk about the transition from unconscious incompetence.
Yep.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
And then conscious incompetence. You know you don't know it, but you're learning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, basically leading up to... unconscious competence that we said.
Yeah, and you know
basically
what?
Doing it without thinking.
And that transcends to your workouts and your workout program.
Yeah.
Being unbiased with yourself and what is my current skill level, right? What am I good at? What am I weak at?
Yeah.
How do I attack those weaknesses? Listening to my body, you know, like, geez, I've been busting it out for 5 or 6 days now. I'm really sore. You know, maybe I take a day or two off, things like that. Or what kind of workouts am I doing that's going to benefit me for the tactical athlete, the soldier, the law enforcement officer, first responder? In comparison to somebody who just wants a bodybuild or something like that.
Yeah. And then it's like something else you said on there too, and this is kind of like the whole theme of my whole message out there anyway, is does it serve your life? Does it serve what you have to do? Or like you said, if I'm going in and just doing bodybuilding, say I'm a law enforcement officer and I'm hitting the gym and bodybuilding and I'm so sore because that's the point of bodybuilding, right? Is break your body down, build back up. And then I got to get in the car, patrol car. Like, no, dude, don't run today. I'm fucking leg day. You know, don't run. Get back at me in 3 days.
Absolutely. So, it has to be specific to your goals and what you're looking for and what you want. And, again, take that unbiased approach to it.
Yeah. So how about the mental aspect of that?
mental aspect is kind of huge. That's kind of the key to it. And I know they talk in different CrossFit fields and in different things about finding your why, just for your workouts. Well, that has to do with your job too, is finding your why. Most law enforcement officers don't get in a lot of critical incidents, thank God. They don't get in a lot of officer-involved shootings. But at some point, you got to go hands-on with somebody. I mean, you're affecting an arrest. You're taking away someone's freedom. Not everybody's going to let you do that. And you could go a 20-year career and never have an issue, and that's great. That's what we all want. Maybe you do that verbal judo and you talk through and you de-escalate a lot of your problems. But God forbid you get that one person that's not going to work and they're not going to go. You know, you have to be prepared. You have to be mentally prepared to handle that situation. And going back is just finding your why, whether it's just yourself, whether it's mom and dad, whether it's your spouse or your kids. And it's kind of, I mean, you can get really deep into it. And I had this conversation with you before. I'm just a part-time officer at this point. I'm not doing it full-time. But still, when I was doing it full-time, I never want to be the guy that's bleeding out in the street, feeling sorry for my kids that they're not going to have a father around. Yeah. And in my last breath thinking, did I train enough? Did I do enough? You know, what are the ramifications now of my lack of fitness, my lack of skill in relation to, you know, God forbid my kids not having a father for the rest of their life? Yeah. What could I have done to mitigate that?
And that's part of that whole taking ownership. Like, you were solely responsible of everything. There's always going to be things that are outside of your control and circumstances. But like you said, did I do everything that I could? And how much of this was my fault?
Yeah.
You know, how much of this failure could I have mitigated by preparing a little bit better?
And a lot of times in training, too, we talk about the OODA loop. You know, observe, orient, decide, and act. We talk about speeding up our own OODA loop, our own process, our mental triggers and things like that. We talk about disrupting the adversary's OODA loop. And I don't like to focus on that a lot because I can't help what that adversary or that suspect's level of training is, whether they're on drugs, what they're doing. There's a lot of variables with that individual I can't control.
Yeah.
But what variables can I control? I can control my own training, my own abilities, and the things that I'm doing.
Yeah. We're gonna pause 1 second. All right, sweet. We're back. We just took a little break because this is a gym first before a recording studio. So we got people that who am I to stomp on their fitness every day? They want to come in and warm up. So we were talking about OODA loop and being prepared. Something that I thought of while you were saying that is like the need for that for general population outside law enforcement. And I know Chris Fry talks about this
absolutely.
A lot.
Great guy.
And Chris
good friend,
is going to be on
friend.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
And we'll probably touch on this a bit too. Probably a lot of similar topics. But the whole idea of how many situations could be avoided or mitigated out of a sense of preparation. So my wife was up in Lake Placid shooting, and she called me last night, and she was staying in some little motel, and she's like, I'm glad she has a wherewithal to, you know, keep an eye on things like this. She's like, there's only two people staying at this motel. She goes, they put me in a room next to a white van at nighttime where I walked in, two dudes sitting there smoking cigarettes, windows down, cat called at her as she walked into a room. They're staying in the room next to her, paper thin walls. She called me up, and I was on the phone with her as she walked back through, right? And she walked out, got her money back, went down the street, went to a different hotel.
Yeah.
Like 99.9% positive. They're just some dudes, workers, going in, see a pretty girl, say hi to her, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's what if that last, that tiniest little chance, like they break through a door in the middle of the night, whatever, and then it's like, what could I have done to mitigate that?
Yeah.
And she did it.
Yeah, and that's good. Most people are oblivious. I mean, when we take it back to the tactical world or law enforcement, it's about being prepared, and it's about things of situational awareness. It's about your preparation too, physically. How's your uniform look? Do you look like you're physically fit, or you know, it's criminals and people. And Chris will talk about this tomorrow, but people are going to size you up whether they can take you or not. You know,
totally.
There's not a lot of nonverbal cues, a lot of nonverbal communication we get from people. So just your preparation in terms of your physical fitness, how you carry yourself, things like that. And then going back to those concepts, you know, how do I control space? How do I control the angles, and how do I situate myself, and how do I begin to talk to people? Sometimes, you know, you get on scene and it's, hey sir, hey ma'am. And sometimes, you know, there's some expletives going, you know, and you have to prepare for that.
The whole like appearance thing too has always gotten me, because I feel like there's this whole counterculture you see a lot in, like, I don't know, whether it's like CrossFit or Olympic weightlifting, you see a lot of people that will almost, I don't know how to put it, almost love the fact they don't look like they lift, but they're really strong.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, I haven't done a curl in 8 years, but I can still clean and jerk whatever. I'm like, well, you look like you haven't done a curl in 8 years. And I'm not to say that, like, I'm a vain dude, but, like, man, if I'm spending all this time
work,
in the gym,
yeah, you're putting in the work. Like, absolutely, absolutely.
And it's the whole thing, too. Like, if you want to be a law enforcement officer, man, if I was in law enforcement, I'd want to look as much like G.I. Joe as fucking possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want to fill out my uniform. I want to be a deterrent for as many situations as possible by physical appearance alone, and then by actions and demeanor and stature.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that that kind of goes, there's two different methods to thinking about that. You know, as you walk the earth, do you want to be, you know, the guy in the Hawaiian or pink shirt, you know, walking around that nobody kind of wants to mess with just because you look like the average person and whatever, but you still make eye contact? Uh-huh. Or do you want to look like, you know, Billy Badass? But then on the another thing with that, you know, you might deter a lot of people, but once you're pegged the most dangerous man in the room, you just became a little less dangerous.
Yeah. So,
there's you can kind of argue both ways, and it's for people to decide kind of where they want to go. But for law enforcement, you should be professional. You should look the part, act the part, and carry yourself in a certain manner, in my opinion.
But I think that's what the deciding factor is, because I think you could take two people that are of the same, like, physical stature and whatever, and you can tell by the way somebody walks if they're going to be cocky and, like, overconfident, egotistical about the fact that they're this, like, whatever, versus the person that's, like, gregarious and kind or whatever, but in their own right, in relation to the job. And I think that's where, if I saw a room full of people, I see one dude that's, like, well, you can tell if they're, like, sizing people up versus, like, there's somebody that they're, like, I don't know, like, the quiet assassin, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The sleeper. Mm-hmm. So they're capable and they're aware, but they're confident enough because of that that they're not looking for issues.
Yeah. It's about being humble and having humility. You could have a 600-700-800 pound deadlift, and guess what? Someone on earth is going to deadlift more than you. Yeah. I do a lot of, like jiu-jitsu, for example, right? This is one of the most humbling things that I've ever experienced. And I started early when I was in my 20s. And I was a good kid, good person, but I hadn't matured enough. I didn't have that humility. I had a little bit of an ego. So I got my butt kicked over and over again. And guess what? I didn't show up that often.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't until after the military and probably I hit 30 years old that I kind of started coming into my own. And I just realized, you know, it's about humility. A lot of problems can be mitigated by just the way you approach people, the way you talk to people. As a law enforcement officer, you have to try to mitigate and de-escalate situations, but you also be humble. But you have to have that switch. Once it's time to go, guess what? I am top dog, and I'm going to handle the situation.
Yeah, you're not letting people walk all over you.
Yeah,
but you're aware. Yeah,
yep. Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody commands respect until you know they show you otherwise.
Yeah. Cool. So, a little bit about your background, military. A little bit about that. What did you do in the military?
Even backing up further, 2004, I went to Potsdam my first year of college, I believe, if I get the timing right. I dropped out of college to join the military. Global War on Terror. My parents weren't too happy, but enlisted. I had a pre-existing condition in my back that I didn't disclose. Recruiters tell you not to, right?
Yeah.
So I get there, I injured my back, they took x-rays, they're like, this is funky, you're going home. And I was the kid from like 3 to 4 years old. You talk about nature versus nurture, like running around, army uniforms, guns, knives, you know, toy stuff. So always wanted to do it. Had a good relationship with my grandfather. He was an airborne infantryman in Korea. Got a long history going back of military service. So I got out of there. I went back to college. I graduated Utica College with my bachelor's in 07. And then shortly after that, I enlisted again. Went to Fort Benning. Went to airborne school. I ended up being an airborne infantryman in a reconnaissance unit. Served with the 82nd Airborne, and then with the 10th Mountain Division. So somewhere in between 4 or 5 years, got out of there. I only had one child at the time, and I was a stay-at-home dad for 2 months, and it was like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
So I had to bail on that quick. But
a lot of ladies out there and be like, see?
Yeah, exactly.
You,
and it was only one, right? And
she was just learning
to walk.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I got out of the military and I had a lot of responsibility. I was a sergeant, had like 22 soldiers I was in charge of, and rough transition, getting out. And then luckily it was nothing on me, right place, right time. Found the job with Homeland Security and kind of as a contractor for a couple years. Did that, teaching. Wanted something a little more stable with medical coverage and things like that for a family. So then I went to the sheriff's office, full-time road patrol as a deputy. Our police officer for 2 years, and then a civil service position opened back up at Homeland, and I've been there ever since, full time.
Cool. So. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely.
Probably a little more info than you wanted. But,
no, that's great. I mean, it's just to give everybody a little bit of background on like your experiences and why you can pull from those things. And I think, you know, there is some audience out there that's military, law enforcement, and that line. But there's a lot of people that I think are interested in the parallels from what you learn from that that pulls into daily life.
Yeah.
You know, things that...
We talked about moderation.
Yeah. That's another big one. Yeah, we should totally talk about that because we're talking about the tactical training we did earlier and why it's like 3 days a week and why we're not going for rep maxes and why we're not trying to totally destroy ourselves in the gym. Because that's to serve your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, want to be able to come home and play with your kids, and that and then your job.
Yeah, it's about moderation. And as a law enforcement officer, a soldier, things like that, there's a lot of different skills you need. I mean, you need to know the law. You need to know, you know, your ability to interpersonal communication skills, things like that. But going back to just working out and kind of the tactical side of it, you need to be able to grapple. You need to be able to strike. You know, you need to be able to be strong. But you also have to have the cardiovascular endurance. There's a lot of different key skills, then you can't put all your eggs in one basket. So how do across the board, do we plug enough eggs into each basket to become, and I always hashtag jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
Every discipline I do, whether it's shooting, whether it's jujitsu, working out, there's somebody better than me, a lot of people better than me.
Uh-huh.
But hopefully holistically across the board, you know, I've put enough eggs in the basket that I have at least a good proficiency, depending on, because the fight doesn't, I'm not going to choose the fight, fight's going to choose me and where, what direction that goes. But and that's kind of that moderation to figure out where you want to go from that. And in moderation, just in everyday life. I mean, you know, do you want to be in the gym 5-6 days a week? Is it hurting or helping your relationships? Is it helping or hurting, you know, things that you have to do outside of the gym or obligations you have?
Totally.
Are you being unbiased with yourself and doing enough work, you know, to make sure you're being proficient in those areas, areas
so that
you need to.
Minimal effective dose for your life.
Yeah. And it varies.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that it's a super slippery slope, and I don't think people do it consciously, but, you know, being in a space like this for the last, you know, better part of a decade and seeing lots and lots of people come through, and I see the general population come in for what we call GPP, or general physical preparedness. They don't know anything about any of these sports, strength sports, but they come in and they're, I want to be leaner, I want to look good naked, I want to be capable, I want to play with my kids, be healthy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it turns into like, it's sweet, like weightlifting sweet, and all of a sudden it becomes all about that.
Yeah.
And then it's diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the point of like, and I did it myself too. I did it with powerlifting, I did it with strongman, and I was hurt, I was injured, but I was like, man, I'm striving for this goal. I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck did I start this for?
Yeah.
You know, like I started this so that, and I think having a daughter pulled that back.
Perspective.
Pulled a huge back
perspective. Yeah, priorities and everything else. Well, and you gotta think too, I mean, nothing wrong with it. Some people can recover at a certain rate. Some people can't.
Yeah.
I recover at a slower rate, typically. But if you're going to the gym 6 days a week, twice a week, and you have constant lagging injuries, and there's definitely value in chiropractic care, massaging, cupping, all that stuff. But if you have to throw all the three of those things, in my humble opinion, every week, and you're banged up, like where it's like, well, why don't you just take 3 days off?
Yeah.
You know, and regroup. You know, your central nervous system, you know, your musculature, all that stuff, and then come back and hit it hard when you're fresh.
Because then you got to think your time investment. So not only are you investing, so if you're minimal effective dose, and especially for after 30 years old, I find that minimal effective dose 3 to 4 days a week, 45 to 60 minutes.
That's it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot, especially when I'm like 5-6 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So now my time investment in the gym is maybe 3 to 4 hours a week.
Yeah.
Versus if I wanted it to be six, now I've got a 6 hour time investment plus a 3 hour time investment in self care plus, you know what I mean? So now all of a sudden I'm taken away from other things.
Yeah.
And nobody pays me to work out.
No.
Nobody pays me. I'm not a professional athlete at all, right? I'm a professional coach. So to some extent, I need to be capable of looking the part.
Absolutely. Yep.
But, right, there's diminishing returns. I don't need to be the best athlete in the room. I need to be capable enough to coach the best athlete in the room.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about not looking at other people and what they're doing. Like I said, whether it's suspects or there's someone else in the gym, it's am I improving? Am I doing what I need to do to get better at what I'm good at and then solidify my weaknesses, get better in those certain areas as well.
Do you feel good about what you're doing? Like, do you feel like you're truly improving yourself without comparing to other people? Because like you said, jack of all trades, master of none, and you're trying to decide, I'm going to develop my own personal skill set for myself to improve myself across all these dimensions. And then how many eggs do I have to share?
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
What do you got coming up? Big things, aspirations?
Not much. Just keeping going with my career at Homeland, continuing jujitsu, continue to train law enforcement officers. That's kind of my thing now. It's kind of my passion. It's tough not doing anymore.
Yeah.
But I think I can make a larger and bigger impact just through the teaching and trying to take some skills at least that I have or have learned and then kind of pass them on.
So from a law enforcement standpoint, speaking to civilian standpoint, what's something that civilians can do, whether it's like police interactions, relations, things that you've learned or witnessed from the civilian population from that side that you can throw tips?
You're talking just generally or?
Yeah, you know, generally. Generally? Something people can take away, an actionable step they could take away from this today.
It's a tough job. It's a selfless job. I kudos to the police officers out there doing it because I'm not doing it much anymore. But they're the same as civilians. They have families. They have kids. They have aspirations. They have good days. They have bad days. Thank God critical incidents don't happen that often. But you can't overstate the fact that you put on a duty belt with use of force tools, pepper spray, taser, a firearm that you could use for deadly physical force. Yep. You put that duty belt on and you could sit in a car and not have much going on. Or that could be the day where you had to pull your weapon. So it's serious business. So even if it's just a thank you or just complying, it's yes, if you get pulled over for something minor, is it an inconvenience? It's an inconvenience for everybody, but just comply and work through the issues.
I think an important thing to remember too is while we are still going to be in charge of yourself and aware of everyone else around you and not, just completely wool over your eyes to like threats in the world, but also remember that the majority of people in the world are not out. They're out to do their best.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
People are just doing their best. And I see that like my wife and I talk about that with politics a lot. People get on like whatever side, hashing on someone. Like, I legitimately don't believe that someone is out there trying to sabotage people's lives from a political standpoint. They honestly are doing what they believe is best. And whether I believe it's right
or not, they
really think that they're doing what's best. So like everybody comes from that standpoint. And law enforcement comes from that standpoint. Whether you get pulled over and you agree with it or not or whatever, that person is still doing what they believe is best to help.
Sometimes you have contact law enforcement officers. They might agree with you.
Yeah.
But guess what? And there's a certain level of discretion, but there's also things called the law.
Yeah.
And there's times where I've had to do things, and I know other officers where you're like, I don't feel comfortable with this, but it is what it is. That's the law, So it's really just about doing a good job and having character and having integrity are kind of the two biggest takeaways there.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I appreciate you coming on
doing
this.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Absolutely.